Last Sunday, I started a brand new series on fasting, strangely enough. What do you mean, fasting? Right after the new year? You know, a lot of people set goals for themselves right after New Year's, and a lot of people want to get in shape, and a lot of people want to do this, and a lot of people want to do that. And, you know, you set goals. And by now, a lot of those are not working out so well. Last week, we had a lot of folks at the health club. Joe and I are members of a local health club, and we went the first week, and we noticed that there were a lot of cars in the parking lot. The second week, not quite as many. I figured by next week, we'll be back to normal. All good. The series was all about fasting. In Matthew 6, Jesus told the disciples, when you give to the poor, do it like this. When you pray, do it like this. That was where he gave us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And when you fast, do it like this. And so, as I said last Sunday, churches usually get the praying part right. We usually get the giving part right. But we don't talk a lot about the fasting part. And so last Sunday was simply a sermon on what fasting is, how to do it, why to do it, and so on and so forth. Today I'm going to take it to another level, and I'm calling this fasting lesson or sermon removing walls, removing walls. The Greek word for fasting means to cover the mouth. Nice, huh? We thought fasting had to do with giving up something. It does. What's in the mouth? That's the Hebrew word. The Greek word for fasting means to abstain from food. The Bible is filled with examples of people who fasted, and there's lots of them. They didn't always fast for the same exact thing, but they always fasted for the same purpose, which when I say the purpose, they all had different situations in their life that they might have been fasting for. But the real purpose of fasting was to get close to God, to get his attention, to go to the next level with him. Or maybe they were in the middle of a turmoil or in the middle of a war, or somebody was coming to kill them or something, and they decided to call for a fast. That is what we see most times in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, a lot of times fasting was brought on by dire circumstances. Today we're going to look at one particular story in the Old Testament that deals with this fasting thing. And it's found in Joshua, the 3rd chapter. Why don't we pray and then we'll jump right in there. Lord, I just thank you for being with us today. I thank you, Father, that we have already sensed your presence in this room. I thank you, Lord, that you are already here in our midst. Holy Spirit, we so invite you. We invite you to invade our hearts. We invite you to change us from the inside out. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to do something that only you can do. And I believe, Father, that today this is going to be the day when lives are transformed, and we're going to see your glory revealed in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they had, because of sin in the camp, because they couldn't quite get the slavery out of their minds, God actually did not take them all the way into the promised land. That first group that came out wound up running around in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally, they all died off. And God told Joshua, the new leader, you're going to take the children of Israel, you're going to take this nation of Israel into the promised land. And so they sent some spies over, and you know the story. They went into this first fortified city that they were going to go, and they were going to attack this city, and they were going to come up against the city. The first city they came up against was Jericho, and Jericho had tall walls, and it was a big fortress of a place, and it was incredible how strong this place was. And they weren't really, the city of Jericho wasn't too worried about them, because after all, they were a walled city, and they could defend themselves. But Joshua gets ready to take the children of Israel over, and this is what he says. The only verse I'll read out of that story this morning is in verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Sanctify yourselves. Now that's kind of an Old Testament word, sanctify. Some translations say consecrate yourselves, others say purify yourselves. Others even say, make yourself holy. And that really is where we kind of get that holy. The word holy kind of comes from that. Randy could stand up and give us a full discourse on the Greek word and the Hebrew word there, kadash, right? And I'll give you that. Thank you for that nod. And sanctification is that action of becoming holy. That's really what sanctification is. Let me give you three theological words that we don't hear a lot, but we understand what they mean. The first one is regeneration. The second one is justification. And the third one is sanctification. Three words. Let's talk about regeneration for a minute. Regeneration is what happens to your nature. That's what happens to your nature when you get saved. When the Lord comes into your life, your nature is changed. You go from being one way, and when you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you become a new creation. Scripture tells us that, right? We become a new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. It's the wonderful grace of God that comes into our life and changes us and transforms us. And we no longer have to live in sin. We can actually live under the blessing of God. That's called regeneration. And then we go from there into justification. And justification is what God does for us. Because after we're regenerated, we're a brand new person. Justification is when God says, when he looks at us, he looks at us just as if we hadn't sinned. We are pure before him. We are justified, Scripture tells us. And it's what God does for us. And then we move into sanctification. And sanctified is what God does in us. Because sanctification is something that comes along afterwards. How many of you have ever seen somebody that made a life change, but they struggled with staying on course? If you've been in church, you've seen folks that come into the body of Christ, and it's kind of two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward. They're making progress, but they're not perfect. Scripture tells us that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Another, that's what sanctification is. It's the working out of your salvation, but in essence, it's getting pure before God. It's getting right before God, so there's nothing between you and God. Have you ever gone to prayer? Maybe you have, and you get ready to pray, and you say, Lord, I have some specific needs. I got a lot of things to pray about. But before I pray about them, I just need to repent of all this stuff that's been building up. You see, that's a little bit about what sanctification is. Some years ago, I got a call from a lady at the church office that I was working at, and the lady called and wanted to know if we had a hands-on healer. Well, that's kind of an unusual request. Do you have a hands-on healer? That smacks of somebody riding around with some tonic and, you know, it just didn't sound right. And so who'd they give her to? They sent her to me. and so I guess I had the biggest hands. I don't know what that meant. So I spoke to the lady, and it was a desperate situation. She had no church background whatsoever. She had no church background whatsoever. And she called out of desperation because her and her family had been involved in a head-on car collision. Her little 2-year-old had been killed. Her husband was in a coma, and she had been injured, and one of the other children, I think, had been okay. And so out of desperation, she just looked in the phone book and picked out a church, and she had heard somewhere in the past that there was healing possible if you laid hands on the sick. I guess somewhere she had heard that if you laid hands on the sick, they would recover. That sounded like something maybe she had heard. And she said, do you believe in laying on of the hands? And I said, yes, we do. And she said, would you come to the hospital and pray for my husband? And I said, yes, I will. So I got in my car, and this thought came through my mind. This is a desperate situation. How holy do I feel today? And is everything right? Is there anything between me and God that is going to keep God from intercede on behalf of these folks? I called up my friend Alan Kinsey, who was a friend of mine, and he was a prayer partner, and he was tenacious, never met a situation he couldn't pray for. And so we went into the room of this man. He was in a coma, and we took oil with us. The Bible tells us that if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and pray for him, and the prayer of faith shall raise the sick. We prayed for this man. He was out, young man. They were in their probably early 30s, late 20s. Nothing supernatural happened, no miraculous thing. He didn't open his eyes, and everybody was well, and everything was great. We didn't sense anything extremely supernatural at the moment. We left, and I came back and checked with him a few times around the next few days. About a week later, he came out of the coma. And I moved away during that time, and I missed the whole story. And I found out later that he had made a recovery, but he never was 100%. But it was just one of those situations where it was complicated. It looked dire, you know. She was so desperate. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment, and I felt like the Lord was just saying, you need to live so close to me that no matter what comes your way, you never have to ask that question again. You need to be so close to me and so pure before me that no matter how difficult the situation comes before me, that there's nothing between you and I. That's what sanctification is. It's getting pure before God. See, justification puts us in a right relationship with God. Sanctification exhibits the fruit of that relationship. That is, a life that's separated from sinful world and dedicated unto God. Sanctification is a biblical doctrine. The word is found in its various forms over 400 times in the Old Testament, to say nothing of all the references that it has in the New Testament. In Leviticus, the 11th chapter, in the 44th verse, God said, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves to and be holy because I am holy. You see, he wants us to be holy like him. That's God's desire for you today, is that you would be holy just like he is holy. Even when you, and so some people would say, yeah, but that's kind of Old Testament stuff. Don't we live under grace now? Yeah, we do. Let's look at Galatians 5 and 19. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Then he goes on to say, let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty straightforward, don't you think? How many of you believe that God wants us to be holy? I believe God wants us to be holy. You see, sin brings separation from God. Adam and Eve had this wonderful experience of being in the garden, and every evening God would come down and they would walk together. And I don't know what they talked about. I don't know what they did. I don't know if God was showing them things that they hadn't seen yet, or if Adam was telling them what he had named stuff. I have no idea how that all worked, but every day God would show up. And then sin entered into the equation, and Adam and Eve sinned. Well, guess what happened that night? God showed up at the usual place at the usual time to do the same exact thing. Because you see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God did not change, but Adam and Eve changed. Sin always changes you. Sin will change me. I think that's one of the biggest problems. We think that sin separates God and moves God away from us, but God is still there, and we simply move away from him. God showed up the same. You see, here's what happens when sin comes into your life. A little lie here, a little small discrepancy there, a misstep here, a compromise there. I mean, before you know it, your relationship is damaged because you have changed. You have changed. It's the same way that it happens in other relationships. God is our example here, and who's who we're talking about today, but that same example is given even in all of our personal relationships here on earth. If a husband and wife no longer communicate, if they begin to if they become deceitful with one another, if they lie to each other, if they're angry with each other all the time, and all the things that go with that, you can see how separation can come into any relationship. Sin always does that. It always changes you. Sanctification is a process of becoming holy in daily life. It's practicing purity and being set apart from the world and from sin. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus in what we do and what we desire. And fasting is an excellent means of sanctifying yourself. Now, I talked about fasting a little bit last week, and that fasting is doing without food for a spiritual purpose. If you're just doing without food, then you're just starving yourself. That's just starvation. But if you're combining fasting and prayer for a biblical person, for a biblical purpose, that actually is a godly thing, and God will show up in a powerful way in your life. And I told that story last week of how we had been fasting for a week when we went to hold the revival in Cumberland, Maryland back in all those years ago. And when we showed up, this wonderful revival came to be. We didn't even realize the implications about all that happened during that revival. I was talking to Tessa this morning, and she was saying that when she was being raised in that church, the people that were the elders of that church, some of them had come to know the Lord during that revival. The people that influenced her came to know the Lord in the middle of that revival that happened there all those years ago. And churches begin to, now there's pastors of other churches that came out of a meeting that happened just because a handful of people got together and believed that God would do something great if they would get serious enough about things and get close to Him and put aside all of the things that they had in their life that they said, today I want to be as close as I can to You, God. Today I want You to do whatever You want to do, and I don't want to have anything separate me from You. And that's what fasting does. Joshua told the people to sanctify themselves because there's something we must do. No one, and you see, that's something you have to do it yourself. It's a personal thing. Somebody else can't fast for you. When I say fast for you, you can have somebody that's fasting on behalf of you, but fasting is still a personal thing. That's something that you do. By sanctifying themselves, they were tearing down the wall between themselves and God. You were wondering how we're going to get to that title, wasn't you? The wall that was built up. Because as sin enters into your life, it's built brick by brick, rock by rock, stone by stone, and before you know it, you have this wall. Now, this old building is over 100 years old, and these walls are about 2 foot thick. And if a tornado came through here, this would be a pretty safe place to be. The windows would blow out, the roof would probably go off, but the walls would still be intact. Why? Because they're very thick. That's a good thing. That's a picture, though, of what can happen when we have sin in our lives. Sin can come into your life, and it can just begin to slowly build up. And at first, you don't even notice it. You just kind of realize that maybe I'm not as close to God as I once was. I don't spend as much time with Him as I once did. And before you know it, the wall begins to grow. And before you realize it, you don't even hear God's voice anymore because He's on the other side of the wall. You don't see what God wants you to see because there's a wall between you and Him. That's the problem with sin. Sanctification comes along when you ask God to purify you, and that's what sanctification does and fasting does. When you purify yourself, you get rid of that wall. You break the wall down. I love the story. As they were getting ready to go to Jericho, Jericho had a huge wall. God just simply saying, if you'll get rid of the wall between us first, I'll get rid of that wall when we get over there. Now, there's one more great piece of this story that I love, and it's found in the lower part in that chapter. It says that when Joshua got ready to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River, he said, now, we're going to send the priest out, and they're going to carry the Ark of the Lord, and they're going to go out. And at that time of the year, the Jordan was overflowing its banks. The water was high. And they had to cross over it, but the water was high. Joshua said, this is what's going to happen. Tomorrow, we're going to go, and God's going to do amazing things among us. When the priest walk into the water, God's going to cause the water, I like the translation that says, God's going to cause the water to stand up like a wall. And then the ground is going to be dry. So here's what I discovered this week. As I began to think about that, as I began to study that, and as I began to look at that, I realized that if you will take care of the wall between you and God, He'll take care of taking down or putting up any wall in your life that needs to be taken down or put up. Because all of us probably have some walls in our life. There may be things that you're hiding behind. You may be hiding behind some fear. You may be behind some doubt. You may be behind some concern. You may have some past issues in your life that are so difficult for you to get over that you feel like there's a wall that has just stopped you from stepping into your real purpose in life, or that thing that God has called you to do, or that thing that you've always felt like you were destined to do, but you said, My situation is too complicated. The details of my life are so complicated that there's no way I'm ever going to be able to change the situation that I'm in. Let me just tell you one more piece of this story that might show you a little something about that. When the water stood up like a wall, it says that the riverbed became dry. Now, I've read that 1,000 times. I love it. The wall, all the way, there was a city called Adam, actually, and the water went all the way back to Adam, and it stood up like a wall. We don't know what that means exactly, is that the water stopped right there. All the water that was left flowed on out to the river, all out to the sea, and the ground became dry. You realize that God's a God of details? God allowed the Israelites to walk across on dry ground. God allowed the Israelites to walk across on dry ground, and he took care of the mud. You see, that's not, maybe you're not shouting just yet, but let me just give you a little bit of a history of this. When the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went into the fiery furnace, they came out of the fiery furnace, and what does the Bible say? They didn't even smell like smoke. That's right. God took care of the smoke. But when God sent the children of Israel across the Red Sea, he took care of the mud. They didn't even have mud on their shoes. You think God doesn't deal with details in your life? God will take care of the littlest, minute details in your life, no matter what it is. Your situation is not so complicated that God can't figure it out. God can figure out every situation, every minute detail, everything that you think is impossible. God says, I am not only able to do more than you think or more than you are asking, but leave the details to me. I am big enough. I am God enough. I am Jehovah, and I will take care of your needs. Amen. So do you have walls in your life? Have you ever built them up or somebody else built them up? Maybe it was something that you didn't plan on your own right. Maybe it was something that happened to you as a child that forever has just seemed to keep you from the person that you always knew that you were going to be. God is here today to take care of the walls in your life. David himself, King David, was a man, the scripture tells us, was a man after God's own heart. But even he knew that sin could build walls in our own life that would separate him from God. So he prayed this simple prayer in Psalm 51 and 10. It said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So let me ask you a question. What walls do you need to tear down? What is separating you between God, your Father, and you? Is there anything in your life today? I'm going to close with this. I've been on a journey this week. Last week I told you we were starting a fast, and some of you joined with me, and some of you, and the thing about fasting is it's a personal situation. It's a personal thing. And sometimes churches, entire churches go on fast. I didn't feel like it was necessary for me to call a fast for the entire body of the Brownstone because this was our first time to teach on it, and I wanted to give everybody the information first so that you could decide for yourself if this was the time and the right season for you and what God would call you to do. But I've personally been on a search this week to see how close I could get to God. And I began to think about this, and I began to think about the fact that Jesus fasted. He went out in the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know, you're going without food for a few days and you're going without certain things and you realize the difficulty of it. And I began to question God. I said, now, Jesus, you were God. You've always been God. You've been the Son of God. You came to earth as man, but you had all this power. Why would you go out into the wilderness and fast 40 days and 40 nights? And I remember just distinctly praying one day at home. And just that quick, no sooner had the thought popped into my mind that I prayed that prayer that I felt like God said, because you're worth it. And I said, God, I got to thinking about it. And I said, why would you go to the cross? Why would you allow them to beat you? Because you're worth it. And why would you fast for somebody else? Because they're worth it. Why would I fast for you? Because you're worth it. See, God puts worth on who you are. He knows who you are. He knows the value of each one of us. He knows that sitting in the Brownstone Church today are men and women who are world changers. They're not just people who are going to go through life, and at the end of their life, they're going to have regret, filled with regret. They're going to go through their life, and great things are going to happen. I'm not talking just about Randy and Tessa. I'm talking about all over the congregation. Would you bow your heads with me today? As we've heard the word this story, or as we've heard the word this morning, I want to ask you a question. What is God saying to you today? What hidden things in your heart is the Holy Spirit saying it's time to remove? What wall of sin is separating you from that relationship with God that you once had? What wall of fear or doubt is coming between you and your heavenly Father? Maybe you think the wall is too high and that your situation is too complex for God to take care of. I want you to know the same God that made the water stand up like a wall and made the ground dry for the Israelites to walk on can surely take care of the muddy details in your life. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, I'm tired of living behind the walls. I'm tired of being trapped behind the walls, and I'd like for you to pray for me today. And I'd like to do that. If you've got walls that you've kind of felt like you've just been trapped behind, I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray. Father, today in Jesus' name, I thank you because you are able to take us into a place where there are no walls between us. You're able to clean up the muddy feet, even, Father. You're able to take us from all of the, you said you would take us out of the miry pit, Father. I thank you that you have promised us that. So today, I ask that your hand would be upon each one here that has lifted their hand. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would miraculously do some work in our lives today. Break down the walls between us. I pray, Father, that even as we begin to sanctify ourselves, as we begin to walk close to you, your word tells us that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So we're reaching out to you today. We're believing today that those walls are coming down in our lives. Father, if we have to miss a meal or two, miss a few days of eating, Father, to get close to you, we want you to know we're ready to do it, Father. There's nothing greater in our life than knowing you. Father, today, our plan is that we would spend time with you and that you would begin to heal us from the inside out. I pray against emotional pain. I come against the spirit of anger that is in somebody today. I come against that spirit of fear that's tried to attach itself to somebody today. I come against that spirit of worry. I come against those past hurts today that someone is suffering from today in this house. I thank you, Father, that even now that wall is being broken down, and I bless you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Church, can you just begin to pray and intercede on behalf of those around you, Lord? I just lift up our brothers and sisters today that have come into this house, Father, that are needing something from you, Father, that are relying on this not to be just church as usual, that are believing that this is not going to be just another day of going around the wall, but Father, today the wall comes down in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Lord. I bless you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.